Look at this. Holloway just told him. Stand right here. Oh, big connection late.
With that win over Justin, Max has kind of like added some serious value to that belt, more so maybe than it ever has had.
I think it's definitely gone up in stages, because when Jorge and Nate fought for it, it was kind of like this gimmick thing of these two gangster-like figures,
criminals,
you know, who weren't title contenders, but they were always game and put on a fight, right? So that was like the base level. It was like, this is the cool factor. And then the next level was Justin and Poirier, two guys who have fought everyone and put on amazing shows. So then there's a bit more validity to it. The respect belt for the people that have been through the trenches and come out the other side winners. And now it's transcending weight classes. Max Holloway comes up and he's getting a spectacular knockout, and it adds so much value to the BMF title, because Holloway come up 10 pounds, showed he was the better fighter, and now has every option to him available.
Yeah, like, I was not sold on BMF 2.0 whatsoever. Because it just felt like, oh, we need a main event for the, what is it, after International Fight Week. I believe it was the event after that. We need to throw a title on there. These guys, people seem to really like them. This isn't something they called for. I guess we own this now, so let's just go and throw it on there. And it just kind of felt like it was slapped together. The fans didn't call for it. The fighters didn't call for it. The UFC called for it. And we had a bunch of conversations about it. I mean, it felt like corporatizing something that was organic and like original. And I wasn't even sold on it through the booking of Holloway versus Gaethje. But when you do something like that, like legitimately a top five moment all time, like period, like you think of the best moments that have ever occurred in MMA, that is literally a top five level moment at minimum, like just so fucking incredible. And you watch that and you say, yeah, that epitomizes what a badass motherfucker is supposed to be. He was literally up winning by so far, and he just knocks the dude out in the craziest, wildest, riskiest, like so risky. And he gets the knockout. So fucking incredible.
One of the questions I had as well, like, what does this do for Max Holloway? What kind of doors now does this open up for him? Because he's stapled himself in both divisions. Obviously, he's entered the rankings in lightweight as what, number eight, number
drastically
nine?
Drastically lower, nine. I feel number as nine. Well.
Well, I think for me, more than anything, the takeaway, apart from everything we've talked about, is just I don't remember anyone really ever going from a position of not obscurity, but a position of losing to the champion as many times as he did, to now having just the world at his feet. Like, it's really hard to look through the sports history and think of a guy who took one fight and suddenly could get title shots in two weight classes and has this whole BMF thing going on. So I think that's the main takeaway, and he could do whatever he wants. I think realistically it's probably going to be Topuria, because what are the other options for that man at 145 at the moment?
Unfortunately, right at that show, Dana also announced Islam versus Poirier.
Yeah.
So that kind of takes that next bout out from Max's hand.
On that note, though, like, I think 155 is extra fucked right now. Because what just also got announced, Conor versus Chandler. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think 155 is going to be at least a year or year and a half before he'll get a chance for that. Because we know Islam, if he does fight, it won't be until the end of the year, latest or earliest, October-ish, because they're looking to go back to Abu Dhabi again. It's going to be around then, and if it looks anything like last year did, we're right back where we are right now, where we're waiting, because he didn't want to fight in February. That was a big thing Max Holloway talked about. He was like, you're criticizing the BMF title fight when you could have accepted a fight in February and you could have fought Justin.
You've got Sarukian now waiting as well, which should be the end of the year. So yeah, it makes all the sense in the world for Max to just go, hey, you know, this is my opportunity now to sweep back in and fight for a title again against a champion that isn't called Volkanovski.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, actually, it's just made me think as well, you mentioned in Sarukian, because it's interesting, because there was a thing come up, I think from Sarukian himself, said he declined the Islam fight. Apparently he was offered it backstage. I think I remember seeing this. And he said no, because he wants the adequate time to prepare,
right?
I'm guessing. But then they went straight to Poirier. So maybe the UFC has designs to keep Max at featherweight, even though he's just beat number three in the world.
It seems kind of strange that they would, like you said, keep Max at featherweight, but give him a lightweight ranking. That doesn't really seem...
Yeah.
Unless,
but
of course...
A low lightweight ranking.
Right, but then it's like, why give him a lightweight ranking at all if you're going to force
because
him
you,
to stay at featherweight?
Because you've beaten number three guy.
Sure, so it's just like, there probably are options for him at lightweight.
Well, is Volk going to come back and immediately fight for a rematch?
That's the kind of grey area we're hovering in. I don't know, what do the UFC want to do?
Because it seems like Volkanovski, it seems from his perspective, like he's absolutely got a rematch booked.
Yeah, and he's still putting these little videos out and stuff, so he kind of, he's trying to say, I'm still here, I'm still wanting the rematch. But I think we put Volk to the side because he's been so active as a champion. Let him recover, let Max go in there while we've got some momentum behind him. New BMF and let him fight Topuria.
To me, that feels like the perfect slot because I agree with you. Everybody's a huge Volk fan here. He's outstanding. I think most of us picked him to beat Ilya, but the truth is he got knocked out pretty early. It doesn't have me super stoked for an immediate rematch. I say, at a minimum, do what Stipe did and come back after, you've had some time away. That worked wonders for Stipe in the second DC fight.
Going back to some of the conversations we've had in the past, obviously one of those conversations was the lightweight Grand Prix that was happening at UFC 300. And I felt like everyone sort of dismissed Max because we didn't think that he would get past Justin. But not only did he get past Justin as well, we always talk about, it's whoever puts on the best performance and captures that moment. Mm-hmm. It's pretty safe to say that Max owns 300, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And so he has come out of that event at the top of the pile. You could absolutely argue that Max could easily challenge for a lightweight
belt. You could argue that after Justin beat Dustin, he was the guy in line for the belt, and then Max just beat him, so...
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think Poirier's got a shot off of Benoit Saint-Denis. He was number 11?
Yeah, number 12. It might have even been, yeah.
Maybe that's the reward that he gets for taking a guy that's much below, below him on the rankings.
Definitely is.
When you have momentum like that, when you have that moment, like you said, it's like, how do you not want to just put all your eggs into one basket with that guy? And yeah, the fact that they went to Poirier over Max first, who... It's the guy that Poirier lost to, Max just destroyed in a crazy knockout. And it's like, why would you not go to Max?
If they asked Max, do you reckon he would turn around for 302 against Islam?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
I mean, he is that guy, isn't he? He's the type of dude to say yes to whatever. And I think it's also that ability to say, I'll do whatever the hell you guys want. I'm more focused on the Ilya fight just because that feels like the most obvious clear lane.
Yeah.
There's not another fight booked. Just go ahead and book that one.
Max has to fight someone and he wants to be as active. And he puts on these performances and he's like, there is no one left in 45 for me to take other than Topuria or Volk again for the fourth time. And so he went, okay, so I'm going to go up a weight class. And then he captured everyone's hearts and minds again with a performance like that. And he's made himself stand out more than Topuria at the moment, because Topuria has gone on this massive victory lap, which he deserves because he did great things. But it's like, for me, I know this may be my TikTok addled brain, but it's like, I want to see Topuria come back now. I want to see little bits of him training again. I want to see him rearing up. He started trash talking, things like that. He was there at 300 to see the fight, but I want to see that start to culminate and come
together. Well, when something like that happens as well, and it totally eclipses two divisions like that, and you are the champion of one of those divisions, surely you immediately go after that person and you go, right, that guy is not only a contender in my division, but he has a BMF title. And I could probably be making a shitload of money on a pay-per-view if I'm getting pay-per-view points as well.
The supreme arrogance and confidence works when you're like, it's like, you think that was good? I said, okay, yeah, come against me. I'm going to show you. We'll just show you what a real fight is. And then it's like, you should amp up that not just be like, oh yeah, I'd knock that guy out. That guy's not very good. I wasn't impressed. I'm going to knock him out. But like, come fight me instead. And like, amp it up in that kind of way.
He could have done just about anything. He could have stared at the camera, like mugged the camera.
Yeah.
And looked like a badass. But it was just like, huh? It's like, are you lost?
Even just like
all of us.
Do you know where you are? Like, did you drink too much before this?
Dustin Poirier. What is this going to be? His third official UFC title shot plus his interim title shots? Like, he's bordering on a guy who might have more title shots than anyone. I mean, Max has had a lot. Like
the Uriah Faber of
Faber,
of lightweight.
How many did he get? Three UFC title shots? Yeah, it's just interesting that you usually think you only get one. Dustin Poirier, he's on number three. You know?
Well, I think Poirier could win this if he jumps that guillotine.
Oh, yeah, that worked really well last time.
Yeah, exactly. If you gave the fans the opportunity to, like, vote for who they wanted to see.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, you had Sarukian, you had Poirier and Max in that aftermath. Where do you think that title shot would have gone?
Max.
Yeah. Max, for sure. 100%. I know it's like there's a lot of hyperbole in martial arts, and we get carried away with things when we see stuff like that. But it's like, I thought Max could do anything after he knocked Justin out. Yeah, it's like, it's just what we fucking we're crying out for. Is like that BMF shit, and it's just for it to go perfect, because we see a lot of people throw down in the last 10 seconds and it never comes out. Like Sean Strickland versus Drickus, that was the most lame ass fucking. Like, little battle at the end.
Someone posted Leon Edwards and Cowboy. Did you see that? And Cowboy's asking Leon to throw
Leon's
it out. And Leon's
like,
just like,
I'm winning, bro.
No, like, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm right. Points. Which, you know, is the smart, correct thing to do.
Okay, here's another question then. You've got Sarukian, you've got Poirier, and you've got Max. But who do you think would win between those three against Islam?
It's probably good. Sarukian, right?
The only person I've got winning is Sarukian. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only one, just because he has the matching skill set. He has the KO power on the feet. And we already saw them fight once, and it was incredibly close. I mean, who have we seen in a close fight with Islam? But also, it's like, you look at it at 145, you know, I know I'm super fixated on that, but it's like, that's so intriguing. You know, it's the MMA math game where you would think maybe because he beat Volk, therefore he should beat Max. But I think this is a really, really tough fight for Ilya. Like, he has the unbelievable chin that no one can crack. Ilya is a power puncher, obviously, but what do you do to the uncrackable chin, who can punch faster than you and has better cardio than you? And you also can't get him down, which is Ilya's other massive strength, is submitting people, submitting Bryce Mitchell. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming, you know? Yeah, it's like a stylistic matchup that Max can win, and that's why I feel like it's the best fight. Let's say they fight in the summer. Let's say they fight in June, and then he could realistically fight for the lightweight title after that, because we know Abu Dhabi's coming, and I don't think that's what should happen personally. But yeah, you could absolutely sell the shit out of that. If he's the BMF slash featherweight champion wanting to come up to 155, because, yeah, I mean, we've already talked about this. He's cleared out 145. To such an extent, there's only a couple new guys. And Volk, like we said, I think it's a better thing for him to take a break. I mean, he's had two really rough knockout losses.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. Obviously, we do a little cut down version for you blokes on YouTube. But if you want the full unedited versions, all you got to do is sign up to an MMA On Point channel membership. You can click the button down below. Link is in the description. Tons of stuff on there. Access to the writers' meetings, of course, unedited podcasts. You can watch the back catalog. There's a lot of them where you can just join and show some support.
Well, there you go. Also, did you refer to all of our audiences blokes?
Yeah, they are all blokes.
They're probably all blokes.
99%, I guarantee. Yeah. 99%.
Yeah. Also, if you want to see the unedited version where we sing Bananas in Pajamas, the full theme.
Yeah.
It's only on the unedited version.
It's right at the end, though. You have to watch the whole thing. It's right.
Like now?
Bananas in pajamas. They're coming down the stairs.